This is the All Day Ruck Off Podcast, episode number 23. Welcome to the All Day Ruck Off Podcast, episode number 23. This is your host, Brian, and I wanted to thank you so much for tuning in. We truly hope you enjoy this episode. And don't forget to check out our previous episodes as well. The All Day Ruck Off podcast includes interviews, answers questions, and provides updates on the rucking community. In this episode, we have an interview with Corey Madrowski, who is a fellow GRT and took part in two very unique GoRuck events at Traverse City. These events were the GoRuck Beached Beta Tough and GoRuck Beached Beta Light. You heard that right. Tough and light beached events. If you're listening to this on release day in the United States, then I hope you're having a great Thanksgiving. This is a fun AAR episode that hopefully you'll enjoy over an extended weekend. For those who don't know what an AAR is, it's an after-action review, and it's basically a review of the event. Before we get into the interview, I wanted to give some thanks to those who have left reviews on Apple Podcasts and our Facebook page. First off, we have a 5-star review from Chad who says, "Great gear, greater podcasts. I love how approachable you make rucking through your podcasts. Keep up the podcasts. One suggestion, find someone to interview you. We want to know more about you, especially some of the stuff you sent to me in an email, what some of your ruck events have been like, home life, etc. We want 60 full minutes. If I were to ever get a tattoo, the motto, attitude is everything, keep yours positive, would be it." Thank you, Chad. And I might have to look into that. Not the tattoo, but setting up a podcast where someone could interview me about my first event or whatever anyone else wants to hear about. We'll see. In addition, there is another 5-star review from Steve who says, "Great podcast, uniquely focusing on rucking. Highly recommend for anyone who likes to put on a heavy backpack and do burpees. Gonna listen to some of the past selection winner interviews soon. Doing a tough with a low of 19 degrees Fahrenheit this weekend. Would be great to hear some discussion interviews on cold weather dress up, gear, loadouts, strategies, etc. for longer events where cold will be an issue. Keep on kicking ass." Thank you, Steve. I really hope you enjoy the episodes with the past selection finishers because I had a great time interviewing them and I think they're full of a lot of just amazing information. I hope that you had a great time at your tough event with the 19 degree weather because that is cold. We'll have to put something together where we discuss cold weather gear because you're out in the thick of it for a while, and the only way you stay warm is, you know, through the PT. Finally, there's a 5-star review with no comment left from Bill, which is always appreciated as well. Last thing, if you like the podcast and want to support it by making it more well-known, consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or our Facebook page. If you want to support it financially, you can always check out our store at alldayruckoff.com/store, and we have some new products in there that were added in the past few weeks as well. Without any further introduction, here's the AAR with Corey. I'm talking with Corey Madrowski, who is a fellow GRT, who was able to take part in two very unique and interesting events. The first was the Traverse City Beach Beta Tough, and the second was the Traverse City Beached Beta Light. I'm really excited to be talking to him today because these events were definitely unique for multiple reasons, and I'm excited to hear what he has to say about them. So, Corey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me on, Brian.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for reaching out, and I can't wait to get into these events. Before we get started with them, though, I would love to hear how you got involved in the GoRuck community. How did you stumble upon GoRuck as a company, and what was your first event?
My first event was Detroit Light in 2015, I believe. I had heard about GoRuck. I was doing CrossFit. I was going to Glass City CrossFit here in Toledo, Ohio. And there was another GRT who is a strength and conditioning coach, Michael Ushak. And he told me, you know, he's like, you need to go check out this event. This is, you know, GoRuck. It's pretty awesome. And I went online, saw the videos, saw what it was about, and I was like, all right. So then the Christmas sale rolled around, I think, because this was about 2014 when he told me about it. Christmas sale rolls around. I look up there and events are half off. So I signed up for the Light in Detroit. It was in July. And then I signed up for the Mogadishu Mile in October. And that was a Light as well. I think Larry and Brad were the cadre for the Light. And it was interesting. I'd never really been up to Detroit before, even though I live, you know, less than an hour away from it. And I overtrained for it. At least I feel that way. Cause by the time I got done, I'm like, okay, I could do this. This isn't bad. But really what sold it for me was when I went to Cleveland for the Mogadishu Mile. We had Cadre Jeff, Mocha Mike, and I hate to admit it, I can't remember who the other cadre was that was along for the ride. But I think that was also the event where they made the Mogadishu Mile commercial with Jeff wearing that like skull mask, if you've seen it. And that was an arduous event. It was blowing, raining, like 46 degrees, blowing sideways at us all day long. And it just totally sucked. And I remember getting done with that, and I felt like I'd been doing something. My brother used to sail boats on Lake Erie here, and he used to love to go out in October and sail his boats. And he'd always yell to his friends, you know, 10-foot waves are splashing up on deck, and he'd go, "Hey, we're doing something." And that's kind of how I felt after that event. And that's ever since then I've been sold on GoRuck. I think the first year I did two events, the second year was something like five events, and this year it's looking like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 events now. So, and I just keep growing exponentially. Next year I have, I think it's going upwards of 21 events scheduled now.
That's incredible.
Incredibly dumb on my part, maybe.
Or incredibly exciting. Yeah, well, time will tell. Time will tell on that decision.
Yeah. Hopefully my wife doesn't divorce me.
That's always the goal. That's my goal too. So
excellent.
The holiday sale that year was really nice. The 50% off events. And I know I was able to talk some friends into signing up because the prices were definitely nice. So it's exciting you got in then, because it sounds like that second event really hooked you.
Yeah, it really did. And every event since then has just been one more nail in my bank account's coffin.
I feel the pain. I feel the pain too.
You know, every penny I spend on one of these events, though, is absolutely worth it, because I learn a little bit more about myself and I meet such great people. I can't say enough nice things about my Michigan GRT friends.
That's got to be one of the best parts, right? Is meeting people who are just also crazy enough to sign up for the same thing you did.
Well, absolutely. I mean, pretty much all of the Beach Beta crew was Michigan GRTs, and it was already people I'd done multiple events with. So really the Beach Beta event was almost like a family reunion.
That's awesome. So before we get into Beach Beta, I've got one more question about that Mogadishu Mile Light. When you finished it, did you need a couple days to calm down from, you know, the sideway rain and all the wind before you signed up for your next event? Or were you pretty much good to go? You were hooked and ready to sign up.
I think I had to really digest a little bit. I remember I had a friend who, she's a physical therapist at Cleveland Clinic, and she let me, you know, crash at her place the night before the event. So I was able to go out there and do the event. And then I come like trudging in at, like, I think it was like 5 or 6 in the afternoon when we got done, and it just looked like death warmed over. So I got a warm shower in me, got some B-dubs, and just kind of told her about it. And she just kind of looked at me like, why did you pay to do this? And I was I don't know. It seemed like something to do. So I don't think I signed up for another event until it was probably closer to the next Christmas sale, actually.
Yeah, but that was only a couple months later, right? So that's, right, that's not too bad. But yeah, after my first event, it was one of those, this is the, you know, the craziest thing I've ever done. I'm never doing another one again. And then 3 days later, I was thinking, you know, when's Gorak coming back to Seattle? So it's, you need that cool down time.
Yeah, I've done like a warrior dash, and like afterwards you just feel kind of empty because there's this big buildup, and you know, the thing you get out of it the most after that's over is you're washing mud out of places for like 3 days. Gorak, I mean, after I got done with the Gorak, I'm like, well, I learned something about myself.
Absolutely. So let's move into the Traverse City Beached Beta events. Where did the idea of these come from? It was, Gorak was very quiet about them. They promoted the beached, you know, the actual beached event down in Florida quite heavily, but it wasn't until almost the week of the Traverse City beached events that they started posting about them. So was that something custom you guys did, or was that put on by Gorak?
As I understand it, we knew it was going to be a unique event ahead of time. At least the Michigan GRTs did. I remember, I believe it was Robert Bash was working with Big Daddy on that one. Big Daddy had promised us a pretty awesome event, and this definitely fit the bill. I remember signing up for the event. It was before, I think it was the pack during the Christmas sale. We always keep coming back to this Christmas sale. I remember seeing Traverse City, and I'm like, man, that's like an 8-hour drive. Whatever, I'll do it. And then it wasn't until like maybe a month or two, maybe in the spring, I can't remember exactly. I remember seeing a post on Michigan GRT page saying how the Traverse City events weren't going to be like regular events. Because I was just like, oh, tough and light, whatever, I'll sign up. Because I was like kind of bummed, you know, this year, because it seemed like Michigan wasn't getting a lot of Gorak events. And then, you know, of course, for next year, Jason came through and like gave us like 18 events. So I couldn't be more happy now. I remember seeing a post in the Michigan GRT page saying, you know, they were being real secretive about it. They weren't giving us all the details, but they said it was going to be something kind of like water survival. It wasn't going to be a normal, you know, tough rock and a light rock. And it just kind of, we kept getting little snippets of intel here and there, because it was like, you know, I would go check that page every now and then, see if there's any new information. And then people would be like, hey, anything new coming up? And then we get a little note from Big Daddy, and then nothing for a while. And then a little note here, and then a packing list here. And then it just kept changing.
That's wild. If I recall correctly, on the website, it was build as a zombie event. Do you remember if that was the case? I remember it didn't say beach beta on it.
No, it just said regular tough and light for the longest time. And I think it was still listed as tough and light as a Facebook event, but definitely wasn't your average event.
That's wild. So what did the final packing list look like?
It was chopped down a little bit because the people from the Florida beach beta, you know, they talked about how there was a lot of gear that they didn't end up using. So originally we were supposed to bring a tarp, but that got cut from the list. There was a couple other things that got cut from the list, and it got chopped down to being real basic. I think what we had left was bungee cords, a life vest, 550 paracord, so much 550 paracord, and just little odds and ends, like a knife to cut the paracord and that kind of stuff. So it was very chopped down from what it originally was. Oh, there was like waterproof pens and notebooks that he wanted us to bring. And we never ended up needing that at the end of it all.
Interesting. Yeah, I know that a lot of people were saying from the event down in Florida that they had to bring a lot of stuff that they didn't end up using. And I know that happened with Constellation too. The first couple Constellation events, there was just a huge packing list. And then they finally scaled it down when they started bringing it to other cities. So it seems like that's almost par for the course, but I'm glad you guys had a scaled down version. So starting with that Beached Beta Tough event, what time of day did that event start at? Was that a typical night start time on Friday?
Yeah, it was a Friday night at 9 o'clock. They wanted us to show up at some boat launch in Traverse City. So I took the day off of work because Toledo is like right up there, the state line, between Ohio and Michigan. I think it was 6.5-7 hour drive because I left at like just the right time. And I had just been dreading it the entire day because if you talk to my Pathfinder group, they'll tell you I do not like the cold. We had Rooney, also famous from this podcast, for Veterans Day in Ann Arbor, and it was like 19 degrees up there. And so I remember coming away from that event where they'd heat us up and then the wind would blow and cool us down. And I ended up with like some gnarly like skin condition afterwards from my sweat freezing in my pores. So I dreaded being cold at this event. And I really shouldn't have, it turns out, because I fared all right.
That's good to hear. Yeah, you know if the start point is a boat launch, that you're probably in for a treat.
Well, I think Cadre Dustin said it best. Is he would make fun of us during the event. He did this like high, shrill voice. And, they started off the event. They're like, all right, who came here expecting not to get wet? Okay, good. Nobody. And Dustin was just joking around. Oh, I signed up for this event. I don't want to get wet. And he was hilarious. I can't say enough nice things about him. He was cool as heck.
That's awesome. Yeah, whenever, we get start points inside a beach or a lake, you kind of know you're going to go in, but a boat launch with a special packing list event, it's going to be something different. That's got to have been something. How long was it before you started to when you got in the water?
Things moved pretty quickly. So we got there at the boat launch at 9 o'clock, and it's the usual kind of just milling around. The Detroit people were kind of grouping together. The Highland Hopeless people were grouping together. And then there was just some kind of rando people. And I think Bomber and Dustin and BD come rolling in, and they kind of did a little safety brief right there in the boat launch parking lot. And then they're like, all right, line up, follow us. And they ended up walking us from the boat launch about two or three driveways down the road to actual private residence. What had happened was like BD had rolled into town, I think on a Wednesday or Thursday, and they were just scouting out locations. And the problem was they were trying to find a place where they had access to water, but they could also build a fire so that, people could warm up after being in the water. And I don't know if the Traverse City like municipal people were kind of like, looking sideways at that or what, but BD had kind of reached out to the GRT community and was asking if anybody knew anybody with a house over there on the lake. And there was one gal that would house it for some folks. And so she got BD in touch with them, and BD went out there and talked to them. And it was a really interesting story because apparently the wife of the owner, her brother actually had drowned in the lake at some point. So when BD was like, yeah, we're going to teach a bunch of people water survival in your backyard, and they were like, heck yeah, go ahead.
That's wild.
It is.
It's always interesting to see how the GRT community can come together like that. And it seems like everyone knows someone and is able to help out in some way. So it's great you guys found a house, and that's a terrible tragedy for their family. But I mean, that must have made them feel slightly okay that BD was teaching water survival and maybe prevent some drownings in the future.
Absolutely. We were kind of honoring that fella by making sure it doesn't happen to somebody else again.
Absolutely. So let's get into the event. So how did it all start? So you're saying, everyone's milling around, you guys headed over to the house. What happened from there?
They had this awesome beachfront property, big, long dock. I'm bad at judging distances, but it was pretty long. And so they had us line up on the beach, and they're telling us, all right, we're going to do a swim assessment. You guys are going to get your swim buddy. So you just pick up a random buddy. You're going to swim out to where BD is. BD is like marching out into the water. So like if everyone's just like, well, if BD's in there, I guess it's not too cold. So he's like standing out there far away. He's got a flashlight. He's shining at us. And he's like, all right, you and your buddy got to swim out to BD, go around him, come back. Then you're going to come back on the beach, and then you're going to do it again. And that was just Dustin and BD's way of kind of seeing who's a strong swimmer, who's kind of not so strong, who they need to keep an eye on kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know if you can trust BD to judge the coldness of water. He just does not operate like a normal person.
A little bit better insulated than most of our GRT community, and that makes him just a monster in cold water, let alone any water. Because that dude was in it with us most of the time. He was, if we were in the water, you bet he wasn't too far behind.
Yeah, I've got a picture, and I'll post it in the show notes. The first ever HCL was in Seattle. Well, it was kind of Seattle. It was in the mountains in, I want to say, November or December. And all the water, all the streams, and there's a picture of him just face down in one of the streams to prove to everyone that it's not as cold as they think it is. But it's freezing water.
Oh, he'd been posting pics on Facebook all like afternoon. He had gotten like a little shark thermometer when they were sticking it in the water. And like Goad was just trying to get us like all like freaked out before the event, I think.
I bet. So who from HQ was up there? Bomber Bash was up there, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, Bomber was up there. He was kind of doing pics and he was just kind of another set of hands, and then it was just BD and Cadre Dustin.
Very nice. So you've done your swim assessment. How did everyone do? Was there anyone who was struggling, or did everyone do a good job?
I mean, there were a few people that were not as confident in the water as other people. Me, I spent 2.5 years as an aquatics physical therapist assistant, so being in the water doesn't bother me too much. But there were some people that weren't as comfortable, and we just knew, you know, stay close to them and help them out when we can. There's another story about that, but we'll wait until later in the program. I'll tell you about one of my friends, Eric Flores.
Sounds good. So what's next with the event?
So it's probably like 10, 11 o'clock at night. So we had done a couple of laps in the water, and then it was up to us to take some tarps that they had and kind of build a wall around the fire pit they had going, because they obviously, when you have cold air temperature, cold water, there's always a chance of hypothermia. So we kind of constructed a little shelter around the fire so that when BD and Dustin were teaching, we were keeping everybody warm.
That's great. You got to stay warm, especially when you're doing such a water heavy event like that. Do you recall what the water temperatures and the air temperatures were like? Was it pretty chilly, or was it not so bad?
I'm not going to trust my memory a whole lot because I'm not the best with the numbers, but I want to say the water temperature started out like at 70, and the air temperature, I think at the time, was closer to like 50s. That's when it kind of took a downward dive because BD was teaching around the fire with Dustin. They actually had a guy from the Traverse City Coast Guard come in who was also a force recon guy that I think Dustin and BD knew. And he kind of talked to us about the dangers of the Great Lakes up there. We ended up going back in the water for another little swim. And when we came out, people were really starting to feel it at that point. There we had a lot of people who, you know, being fit, don't have a lot of body fat. Me, don't have that problem so much. I'm very well insulated at that time. So one of my friends, actually, Scott Mann, became a very good teaching point for BD on hypothermia. He told us about the different symptoms, you know, trouble with memory, trouble with fine motor movement, you know, shivering, blue lips, that sort of thing. And Scott, he's very low body fat and he was starting to hype a little bit. So we got him stripped down, you know, no shirt, still has pants on, got him close to the fire. We're trying to put, you know, trying to keep him warm as best we could. And as I understand it, there were about four other people that were having the same problem at the same time. So I remember Scott getting thrown into a car with Bomber and getting the heat turned up full blast. And that's when we kind of reached a tipping point with the event where BD is sitting there with Dustin and they're kind of like, we got all these people and I don't know if we got enough eyes to keep an eye on everybody to make sure we can ensure their safety. So right around, I think it was about midnight when BD kind of comes out and he's like, hey, listen up, your safety's, you know, the primary concern of ours right now. And right now I don't think we can ensure it with all the people here. So here's what we're going to do. If you want to come back at 7 a.m., you can. If you don't think you can swing that, if you'd rather, you know, take off, no problem. Just get with me. I'll take down your name and we'll make this right. There's a few people that kind of split off and went to talk to BD. The rest of us were kind of like, all right, I guess we'll just, you know, take off. Some of my friends like Rob Wheeler and Brian Singlin, they had planned on going to their campsite the next day after the tough was done. So they couldn't just kind of leave and go to their campsite because it wasn't ready yet. So they ended up staying at the house with BD and Dustin and Bomber and spending the night right by the fire out there on the beach.
Well, that worked out pretty well for them. So just to recap a little bit, the event starts Friday night and just, you know, a few hours in, four people are already, you know, almost going hypothermic. You get them warmed up and then BD kind of puts the brakes on it and says, we're going to take a pause and we're going to resume around 7 a.m.
Exactly.
That's wild. I don't think I've ever heard an event pausing like that and restarting later.
Hey, it's a new, unique event.
Sure sounds like it. So I'm guessing you went back to your spot, you know, got some sleep before coming back at 7 a.m.
We rolled out to we had a rental house. And we went back and some of our friends were already there who were going to do the light the next day. And they're like, what are you guys doing back? We're like, BD called it. People were hyping out. We got to take a break. So we're just going to chill and get some sleep.
Oh man, that's got to have put a little bit of fear into the light people who hadn't been out there yet.
Absolutely.
You know? We had to put a pause in the event that you're about to go to because people were hyping out and good luck.
It was serious. It was a real reality shock for him.
Yeah. So you get a little bit of rest and then you come back at 7 a.m. What happens from there?
Then it kind of really felt like nothing really changed. It was just like, all right, let's get you wet and let's keep moving on. So from there, you know, we got back in the water, started going over different medical stuff. If anybody remembers the acronym from Constellation, the SMARCH, safety, massive hemorrhaging, airways, respiratory, circulatory, and then if you're in combat, it's head injury. If you're not in combat, it's hypothermia. So we kind of went over doing buddy checks, looking for holes and just kind of different medical assessments to do. Like the whole kind of premise of this event was like, if you're on a plane and it goes down in the lake, you know, what do you got to do to survive? You got to start triaging people and tying stuff together and finding a way to survive. So the first thing to do is you got to make sure your people stay alive so that you can survive and build a team. And that's kind of where we went from there. After the medical stuff, we went on to kind of waterproofing our rucks and also making sure they could float. So we used a lot of contractor bags on this event. So, you know, for your absolute stuff that you don't want to get wet, put it in a dry bag, but they showed us how you can make kind of a waterproof ruck with just a contractor bag and some duct tape and 550 paracord.
Very cool. That sounds like just a ton of useful information. So before we get too far, when you showed back up at 7, what would you say the percentage was for people who had been there the night before that came back again?
Probably 80% came back, I'd say.
And did the people who were hyping out a little bit, did they show up again?
My buddy Scott ended up sitting the rest of that out. I can't honestly remember on that one, but I knew we were down a few people, and I think it was mostly the people who were really having a hard time keeping warm. So that, and then there was probably, you know, a couple other people who just didn't know quite what they were getting into. And that's all right. You know, this, it wasn't their night, and hopefully we'll see them again at a different event at a later date.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I'm sure there are a number of people who didn't quite fully grasp what they were getting into with this event, because if you Google GORUCK Tough or GORUCK Light events, you won't find anything like this in the AARs or the videos or the pictures. So it's probably a wake-up call to some of them.
Absolutely, because I think there was a couple of people who said this might have been their first event, which I'm like, you guys really picked a doozy on that one.
Right. That's like, you know, when people say their first event's Breg Heavy or something crazy like that, you know. How did you even find out about this to sign up for it? Because this is one of the hardest events.
Right.
So you showed back up at 7. You learned, I mean, some awesome skills. How long did the event go from there? Did the tough go?
Oh, man, it just kept going, it seemed like. We went until roughly about 2 in the afternoon, 2:30, somewhere in there, before BD ended up patching us. And then he's like, who all is coming back for the light? And so, you know, a lot of us raised our hands, and he's like, listen, you guys have been in the water for like 10 hours now. You need to go out of here. You need to go get some food, get some calories in you, take an hour break, come back. And by the time we get done with all the admin stuff with the light people and that kind of thing, you should be ready to rock and roll.
That's awesome. BD is one of my favorite cadre, and that's such a good call on his part, because I'm guessing, you know, 2 p.m. you're finishing up the tough. That's about the time that the light's supposed to be starting, and you've just spent 10 hours in the water. I mean, you guys had to have been pretty wrecked and, you know, worn over.
A lot of people were, and I definitely was feeling it, but I felt like I could have kept going, but that could have been bad because I could have started cramping up. And so it was probably good he had his fuel up before we go back into the fire.
Yeah. And not everyone there had, you know, a previous job where they spent 2.5 years doing stuff in the water. So
let me Tarantino it back, talking about my friend Eric. So I remember at one point during the tough, that big long dock that the people had there, we were kind of doing dives off of it. Not like traditional dives, but Dustin would kind of have us do this little maneuver, look to the right, look to the left, look down, look out, cross your arms, step off the dock. And I think him and BD had us tread water for, it had to have been a solid half hour, 45 minutes. I think it was without our rucks. And I remember my one buddy, Eric, he's a shorter dude, and I could tell he was getting real tired, and he was having a hard time holding his head up from the water. So I remember just like grabbing his waistband of his pants and just trying to hold him up so he wasn't getting as tired during the whole thing. And there was a couple of times where maybe he got a little bit more lake water in his mouth than he needed to, but he was definitely grateful by the end of it.
Wow. 30 to 45 minutes treading water. Did they teach you how to tread water in advance of this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'd done a lot of treading up to that point, and he'd shown us how to, you know, pull our running shoes off and use those as flotation. We had pulled our pants off and tied them in a knot and fill those with air to use them for flotation. But I think at that point, they were trying to smoke us so that we would, you know, not perform as optimally, because you start doing dumb things when you're tired. That was kind of to increase the stress level and make a more memorable experience. That's what was going on there.
Yeah. And you get a special kind of tired from water work, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
I've done a lot of lap swimming and a decent amount of open water swimming, and it's definitely a different feeling on your body afterwards than rucking miles or running or weights or sandbag workouts, you know, or anything like that. It's its own beast.
Absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of it comes down to breathing. If you're not in tune with your breathing, you know, every time you exhale, you're going to go down in that water. And every time you inhale, you're going to go up. So you got to start taking those shallow breaths and just get, I hate to be cliche, but you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Absolutely. That's a great way to describe it, because it's pretty uncomfortable treading water for half an hour.
It is.
So before we get into the light event, is there anything else you want to talk about from the tough event?
That was the thing that stuck in my mind the most. I mean, there was just so much going on, and it seemed like it just went by so fast since that one, you know, we just kept going from one thing to the other once that 7 a.m. rolled around.
Yeah. Yeah. It sure sounds like it, because you only had, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's what, 7 hours?
Absolutely.
That's not that much time. And you guys really got a lot in on there. So it must have just been going.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we were building rafts out of inner tubes and tying together with paracord. BD went over water purification, water gathering, using signal mirror. And I'm sure that's not even everything. I'm sure there's something I'm forgetting or missing.
That's wild. That's awesome. Did you read any of the AARs or any of the stuff that GoArc posted about the beached event down in Florida?
I didn't want to read them just because I knew it wouldn't be the same beast. A lot of the people were worrying about sharks during that event. And, you know, the Great Lakes know that there's nothing nefarious swimming in that water unless you're probably in Lake Erie, and that's just toxic algae.
That's not that funny, but it's funny.
It is funny. Wait until I tell you about 1812 and the toxic algae.
Oh, boy. I'm sure that was something special.
I remember Dustin telling us about how they had quite a few females on the Florida beach, and he said that they were thinking about throwing like Kool-Aid in the water around them when they were doing one of the swims, just to mess with them.
That would have been
like red Kool-Aid.
Yep. That would have been something.
That would freak some people out.
Absolutely. Especially the ones that are, you know, just far enough away that they see the red and think someone might have gotten bit, but not close enough to see what's really going on.
Right. There was a lot of apprehension from concerns about sharks in that group. And when he told us that, I think I was this close to a hernia from laughing so hard.
Yeah. The water doesn't seem that bad anymore, considering you guys don't have sharks. So. Let's move into the light a little bit. It's 2:00. You guys complete the tough. You get patched. You go and grab something to eat. The light class shows up and they start doing the introduction stuff while you guys come back at, would you say around 3:00, about an hour later?
About 3:30, roughly somewhere in there. You know, they were going through the admin safety stuff. They did the swim assessment that we did just now. They don't have the dark. There's, you know, 2:00 in the afternoon, so they can see everything, whereas we had the uncertainty of the darkness.
Oh yeah, that's got to add a whole different element there. So light starts in the day, tough starts in the, you know, in the dark on the water.
Mm-hmm.
That's something, especially for those who aren't, you know, as accustomed to swimming.
Absolutely.
So how many people showed up for the light, would you say, that hadn't participated at all in the tough?
Roughly, I would have to say maybe 20, 23, somewhere in there.
That's a decent number.
Yeah, we had a good turnout for the light.
It sounds like it. And then how many would you say came back from the tough to get the TL in for the weekend?
I'm trying to remember. We had a picture of them all. I want to say it had to be close to 12, maybe 9, somewhere in there.
Okay, so it's a decent sized class in the 30s. That's pretty exciting. So all the introduction stuff is done and out of the way. All the people from the tough class are back. How did the light go compared to the tough?
Well, it was pretty much a sprint version. I think we went back over the medical stuff again, the buddy checks. Well, that was nice to review because that happened, you know, all the way that morning. So I was able to recall it and revisit it. So now it's kind of in there for locked away forever. I think we went over waterproofing the rucks again, which was kind of a breeze for us because we learned to access our rucks while in the water and try to keep as much water out of them as possible. So we're in the water trying to keep them dry and keep the stuff out of them. So when we're on dry land and repacking them and re-waterproofing it, we excelled because we just done it so many times in adverse conditions.
Yeah. Yeah. That's gotta be nice that you guys got a refresher on the safety stuff because you've been up for a while and you've been pretty well smoked and some of that stuff can be forgotten. So that's good. You guys got that. And then it must've been pretty fun to excel at the stuff you had been practicing all morning before. So that's pretty cool.
Well, it's kind of nice because we kind of in the Green Beret sense, even though we pretty much had nothing but Marines at this event, we did a force multiplier. So in a way, the people from the tough got to come in and help teach the people from the light. So whenever you teach something to somebody who's never seen it before, it helps you reinforce what you learned because, you know, now you're having to access that knowledge and, you know, give it back to some new people that have never seen it before. So you start remembering stuff that you didn't realize stuck there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of my favorite things about doing the Constellation events and then a couple, or the F3 event I did as well. It was a lot of learn something and then make sure you teach it to at least one person because it's one thing to learn something, but it's completely different to teach it, and it definitely helps it stick in a lot better. So glad that worked out pretty well for you guys.
Now it's in my top 3 events.
Awesome. So it was definitely something that was a net positive for you. Good experience.
Very much so. It let me revisit some knowledge I had from the Boy Scouts, but then it was able to build on that knowledge. And anytime I can get a refresher and I can get new knowledge, I'm all for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So the light class, how long did that last?
I want to say we went until about 6 in the afternoon. So it was a good 4 hours, 4 and a half, somewhere in there. I think we ended up being done at 6:30.
Did the people who signed up for only the light, did it seem like they had a pretty good time there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, BD said when he started this whole thing, he wanted us to be one tight-knit team, and that he definitely accomplished that.
Awesome. Are there any additional stories from the light that you want to share? Anything else that stood out?
There's a really good, well, it depends on your description of good. There's a picture of me. So the people who owned that beach and that house that we were at, they had these two huge Great Danes. My friend Eric, who I was holding up by his belt, he sat out the light and he was just snapping pictures and shadowing. And there was one point where Dustin had us kind of sprint across the beach for just to get us warmed up. And I remember Lucius, the big Great Dane, he was like standing near me when I started sprinting. And he took off like right next to me. And so Eric has got this awesome-ish picture of me getting kind of chased down by this Great Dane. It's horrible because like I didn't wear a hat for this event and I hadn't had a haircut. So like my hair is like flapping up in the wind. And it's like, I got like this whole like smile on my face, but my chin's tucked. So I look like Tommy Boy a little bit. And it's just a horrible picture of me. But it's a horribly cool picture because this Great Dane is with me I've got my like my GORUCK swim trunks on, and I got my Under Armour shirt, and I'm just like sprinting. And you see Brian Singlin, the guy who is the master of Cleveland area rucking crew, his big old beard, and he's like smiling, staring at me, getting chased down by this dog. And it was a cool point, and Bomber loves to like post that anytime he sees me comment on something.
That's awesome. Well, if you feel comfortable with it, you should send it over, or else I'll hit up Bomber or just go to the Tough group and find it. But that'd be great to put in the show notes.
Dude, don't you worry, none.
Great. Yeah, Brian's an awesome guy. Huge shout out to CARC.
I can't say enough nice things.
Hoping to meet him in person sometime soon.
You should go down to New Orleans at 1812 Tough. That'd be a good time.
There you go. Are you going to be heading down for that?
Oh, I would love to, but I think the budget's already maxed out with the other events.
Yeah. Yeah, budget over here is probably double max at this point, but we're almost to 2018, so I think it resets. That's what I tell myself. Oh. It resets.
Yeah. I'll try that one. I'll see how it works out for me.
Sounds good. Man, so these events sound wild. It sounds like a really interesting twist on the GORUCK Tough and the GORUCK Light events. When you sign up for a traditional event, there's usually some rucking involved. Was there any rucking in these events?
The most rucking we did was probably from the boat launch to the event site, which was probably no more than a quarter of a mile.
Interesting. That's cool that, you know, they're able to spend so much time. It sounded like 10 hours in the water for the Tough and a number of hours in the water for the Light. So I'm glad that they're able to maximize their time use and really bring some interesting skills out.
The way I look at it is this was basically the constellation for the water is how I looked at it. I know the name of it is going to be probably changing from beach to Poseidon was the last thing I heard. But to me, it was just water constellation.
That's a great way to look at it. That's awesome. So if the Beach Tough and or the Beach Light events came back to an area near you, is it something you would sign up for again?
BD said he wanted to make it a yearly event up there. And I tell you what, I would trade any of my other events, except for maybe Snowdrop, to go to that again.
Yeah, when I had Bomber Bash on, he said that Traverse City was the most beautiful town he had ever been to. And it was his favorite spot, so.
I believe his exact words were, it looks like a postcard, y'all.
Yeah, I think that's what he said. So I'm sure that he'll be trying to get back there too.
He wasn't lying. It is beautiful up there. I don't know why it took me so long to go up there and check it out.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to make it out there next time. I do want to hit Snowdrop for next year. I've done some events with Rooney, and I shadowed part of the Mogadishu Mile Tough out here in Seattle with him this year, and he's got something really cool going on, so it'd be nice to make it out there next year.
I almost have to do it now, just because Rooney was in my Pathfinder group, and he was talking about it, and a lot of the Detroit guys went to it, and they had nothing but awesome things to say, so I got to make it this year, or next year, I guess.
Rooney really is an awesome guy. It's great that he, you know, spends time in the Pathfinder groups. You know, he said that he signs up for at least one GORUCK event a year so he can always remember what it's like to be on the other side of it. And I, you know, follow him on Strava and I see the events that he does. So, you know, he does live his words. It's pretty awesome. So before we go, is there anything else that you want to talk about with the Traverse City Beached Beta Tough or Light events?
Well, you know, you just got to keep in mind your environment. If you're going to come out to one of these events where you're going to be cold and wet and you're low body fat, you might want to go grab yourself a couple cheeseburgers, because it certainly helped me out that I had a little insulation layer.
Yeah, you definitely have to plan for it differently. So I guess if there's anyone listening who is signing up for one of these in the future, I don't know if there are any on the calendar right now, but it sounds like BD wants to bring them back, then you're going to have to train for this a little bit different than you are for a traditional Tough or Light event.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no way you can train for the cold. So just listen to the cadre, be smart about what you're doing, and, you know, keep an eye on your buddies. You know, if no one was keeping an eye on my buddy Scott, this might not have ended it so well. So just be a good teammate and things will turn out all right.
That's great advice. Before we go, I've got a quick question. It's a little off topic, but I was just wondering, why are Michigan GRTs so much better than the Ohio GRTs?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a tough one right there. You know, we've got a selection finisher in Detroit. So right there, you know, Cleveland can't boast that, as far as I know. Columbus can't boast that. Cincinnati can't boast that. And we always see each other at the same events. If there's one Michigan event, you know everybody's going to be there. We're a heck of a tight-knit group. I mean, technically, I live in Ohio, but I have a super, super scientific map that says Toledo is just little Detroit. So I consider myself a Michigan GRT. And Brian Singlin is actually from Detroit, so you can't group him in as an Ohio GRT. He's Detroit down to his core. So, you know, I don't know about all the other ones. I would like to get down to Columbus this March and check it out, but I might have just alienated myself from the team.
Yeah, we'll see. That's awesome that you guys have so many groups in such a close area. We've got Travel Squad over in Seattle, but the closest city that GoArt goes, you know, brings events to from Seattle's Portland, which is about 3.5 hours away, and then that's about it. So you don't get too many different groups coming together at events. So it sounds like it's pretty interesting out there.
Yeah, we got really blessed for 2018. I mean, I cannot thank whoever at HQ gave us so many events, because we've got Extortion 17 coming. We've got a 9/11 HTL. There is a zombie apocalypse event for Ann Arbor. We got a double light for Cinco de Mayo. I mean, I looked at it and there's like legit 18 different events going on in Michigan. I got one weekend every month. It's like I'm in the National Guard almost. And from March until November, I've got one weekend where I'm doing either a tough or a light, or in September, I'm doing an HTL.
So is there a specific event you're most excited for next year?
I think the 9/11 HDL, because it'll be my first heavy and it'll be my first HDL. And as far as I know, just about every single Michigan GRT I know is going to be showing up to this. And it's going to be a killer event.
That's awesome. It's been really fun to watch GoArt's event schedule, because they are definitely bringing a ton of new special events out. So it should make for a very interesting 2018.
I definitely agree there, and I can't wait for it, because I'm going to love every sucky moment of it.
Absolutely. So before we go, Corey, are there any shout outs you want to give or anything you want to promote?
One thing I forgot to mention is I'm the rucking coordinator for Toledo's chapter of Team RWB. So if there's any GRTs in Northwest Ohio that are listening, I really would like for you to reach out and find me on Facebook and come out to our weekly rucks on Saturday. That would be awesome to have some people. And then I got a shout out to the Dirty Dozen Pathfinder group run by Hank Stamm, which is just a great group of supportive people. Another shout out to Rob Wheeler, who is a new CA within Pathfinder. He's going to be having his own group for 14, and just the Detroit GRTs, the Murder Squad, is just a great group of guys. Tom Zuck, Dean Akins.
And one of the best club names out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then Brian Singlin, man, that dude inspires me. And I can hope I can be half as good as GRT as him.
That's awesome. Man, it's been great having you on. Corey, thank you so much, man, for taking so much time out of your night to chat with me. This has been awesome, and I was really curious about the Traverse City Beach Beta events, and just thanks for running through them and, you know, talking about everything that happened, because they definitely sound like they're interesting. And, you know, maybe if there are people listening who are excited about something like this, they can harass GORUCK, and GORUCK will bring a couple more of them to different locations.
It's my pleasure, man. I'm happy to talk about it. This is, I don't know if we can call this a sport or not, but I love rucking and I love the GORUCK community, and I can't imagine my life without it now.
That's awesome. Yeah, I don't know what we can call it, but I love it. I know that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Rock Off podcast. To learn more about this episode, please visit the show notes at alldayrockoff.com/podcast/episode-023. To learn more about All Day Rock Off, you can always visit us at alldayrockoff.com. Did you enjoy the show? We would love a review on Apple Podcasts or even our Facebook page. Think we can do something better? Send an email directly to me at brian@alldayrockoff.com, as I'm always looking for ways to improve the show. Don't forget to check out charitychallenges.org for virtual events that raise money for the Green Beret Foundation and Team RWB. If you want to support the podcast, we have some new gear available on alldayrockoff.com/store, so you feel free to check that out if you like. Thank you so much again, and remember, attitude is everything, keep yours positive, and drink hard, ruck harder.